Good morning. Good morning, everyone. I'm in Mexico. Oh, by the way, my name is Chidi O'Dilly. That's my name. I was born with it, I guess. My dad explained the story as to how I got that name. I think he named me. And that's my name. And today I'm going to go all in, and I'm going to explain a lot of things. And so I want everyone to bear with me. You know, it's going to cover a wide range of topics, what I'm about to talk about. And yeah, I just hopped out of the shower, and I'm going to try to catch this sunrise. I'm in Mexico, Mexico City. And I gotta put on some clothes really quick. I might set the phone down. The audio might become, you know, kind of weird while I'm dressing. Okay, so I'll start with a little bit of a bio, you know, like a biography. I was born in Houston. And I went to high school, Lamar. Lamar High School. And I ended up becoming a designer. Yeah, I started making party flyers. I was mentored by Mike Frost. Mike Frost is well known in Houston. He was well known for party flyers, raves. One of the top dudes producing those. And I, in high school, would go to his studio and just watch him design. Taught me a lot. And while I was there, Mike became well known for something else, Swisha House. Mike, I think Mike put Pen and Pixel out of business. He helped do it. But Pen and Pixel was the studio that produced graphics for Cash Money, Juvenile, Baby, all them, with all that gaudy, blingy, you know, graphics. It was produced by a studio called Pen and Pixel. Mike had a, you know, he could do all that, but his stuff was more polished, and Swisha House, based in Houston, chose Mike to produce all of their artwork. And so I watched them do stuff like that while I was up there. And I became a really good designer. And I ended up getting into Flash and then became a web designer. And now I'm one of the best. So that's a little bit of my history. At some point I left Houston. I was like, this place is a shithole. So I left. And I ended up in San Francisco. When I was in high school, I worked at a studio, and one of my coworkers at that studio moved to California. He told me, dude, you need to come out here. And he would tell people about me. he would like tell people about this guy he met who was in high school, who was an amazing designer. And he's like, dude, you need to come out here. Like, people want to hire you. And so I went there, and I did a lot of work for some big brands, Nike, Coca-Cola, Procter & Gamble, others. And while I was there, I was like, you know, this place is kind of whack, you know, it really was. So I went to New York. New York was better at the time. And I continued doing, you know, agency work, design, et cetera. Okay, while I was in New York, I ended up at a cafe one day where a dude who worked at the cafe put his hand on me. He kind of surprised me from behind, put his arm on me, and I was like, what the fuck? So I was holding hot tea. I bought green tea there like I normally do. Not there, but it's you know, at places like that. And I threw the tea on him. I spilled the tea on him. I'm like, what the fuck? And as soon as I did that, I asked him, dude, are you cool? Are you okay? You need an ambulance? I did that just to, you know, yeah, kind of to, you know, legally, you know, if I, you know, if I try to help them, then it's not like assault, you know? And so I did that. So legally I was covered. And that was the first time I ever been to that place. Pret a Manger. I've been to several other of their branches, but that was the first time I went to that particular one. I went to that same branch about 10 days later, about a week and a half later. I went to the bathroom, and I exited the bathroom. There were police right outside the bathroom waiting for me. I was there for like 2 minutes maybe. I don't know how the police got there so quickly. And at the time, I didn't know why they were there. Eventually, they arrested me, and they accused me of misdemeanor assault. I was like, what are you talking about? Because I forgot about the whole thing with the guy, you know, grabbing me. Like, dude, why are you even touching me? You know, that's assault. So, yeah, they were acting weird. I should document all of this. They were acting weird. When I was arrested, I had a briefcase on me. And they're all like, what's in the briefcase? I'm like, you know. And they were making a big deal about everything. I thought, isn't this New York? Like, what? You know, don't, you know, like, what's going on here? Don't people have brief? You've never seen a briefcase? You know, turned out I had weed. Well, I had my laptop, but I had weed in there too. And they made a huge deal about that. I'm like, you haven't seen weed before? What? All that was strange to me. So they charged me with misdemeanor assault. I ignored their, yeah, I'm pretty sure eventually I just like was like, fuck, whatever. And I didn't go to their bullshit court. And several months later, they upped the charges. Suddenly, it's not misdemeanor assault. It's felony assault. Okay? And they came up with all these papers. They said, yeah, it's felony assault because this guy sustained third-degree burns. Third-degree burns. Like, his skin fell off his body, like, you know, from that hot water. And we didn't know that before, but we found out recently, like, it's several months went by. We just found out that his injuries were very severe, and it's a felony now. And you got to go to jail for 2 years. Got to go to Sing Sing, I think they call it, like some kind of like hardcore crew. That's where you gotta go because you spilled coffee. They called it coffee. They said it was coffee. You spilled coffee on this dude, and so now you gotta spend 2 years in state prison. Okay. So at the time, I didn't have an attorney. You know, like I didn't have an attorney on a retainer. You know, like I'm a designer. And they assigned me a public guy, one of these guys they assigned to people. And this is, I think it was around my first time experiencing all this. And I was like, okay, this is interesting. I'll see if it's like the way they say it is, you know, like the guy, you know, like they're all against you, stacked up against you, you know. Turns out that's exactly what it was. My first conversation with my attorney, I'm like, okay, dude, get the video, you'll see that it wasn't that serious. Like, the guy came up from behind, put his hand on me. I turned around, spilled the tea on him, and he kind of looked surprised, but he didn't look injured. He didn't even scream. And I stuck around. I didn't run away. I stuck around. I was like, dude, do you need an ambulance? Like, you want me to call an ambulance? And he's like, no. In fact, he nods his head no. So you can probably see that on video. And so then I ordered another tea. I didn't run away, and eventually I left, you know? So all of that should, like, vindicate me. Like, at least it's not, like, assault, you know? And I told, you know, I explained that to my attorney. The attorney's like, no, we have to wait for the prosecution to do all that. I'm like, huh? Wait, the people who are against me, we have, he's like, yeah, they have to get the evidence. I'm like, well, they might make it up or get fake evidence. Like, you get it too. He's like, no. And I was like, huh. And I was like, okay, so they're going to get the evidence. But is there a way for you to also get it so that, like, if I look at it and say, no, that's not real, that we can have another version, you know? He's like, no. And so I began to realize early on, this is how they do this shit. Okay? So we get to court. The judge is against me. They're all acting weird. And I was like, oh, they have this shit stacked up against me. It's amazing. First time. Excuse me, I'm drinking water. So they had me at Rikers, I think at that point. I was at Rikers Island. Whiling on the island. I was there and I noticed weird stuff while I was there. I swear to you, okay? First of all, it's weird. Jail's weird. That's a whole other topic I probably won't get too much into now. But it was weirder than regular weird jail. I noticed like brain stuff. Like I had the impression then that they were doing human testing, human experimentation, and it had to do with my brain. Okay. I'm going to cover so much stuff today that I probably won't get into that too deeply. But I remember that there was pressure for me to not be in jail anymore. I thought at the time, I thought it was life and death. I was like, okay, I'll do anything to not be in jail, you know? Fuck proclaiming my innocence. Like, I'm not, like, I need to get out of this place where they're fucking with my brain. Like, that's how I was feeling. So, it came down to the verdict. Like, they were going to, like, announce the verdict or some shit. And I think I would have won that case, but I didn't know. Because you can't know that, right? So, I skipped trial that day. I was like, fuck this. Because the way they have it, for people who haven't been to jail, haven't been, you know, in criminal proceedings, the way they do it is, like, on the day they decide whether or not you go to jail, you go to court. And when the verdict is announced, if they decide you go to jail, they take you right there on that day. It's not like, oh, okay, okay, your verdict is you get 2 years of jail, show up here in 2 weeks and we'll put the cuffs on you and take you to, no. It's like, here's the verdict. Oh, you're found guilty. Okay, grab that nigga right now, and then you're going to be in jail for 2 years. I learned all that, you know, at that time. And so I was like, I'm not going there for them, for them to grab me. Like, and so I went to D.C. I caught a train, and I went to D.C. I don't have any friends in D.C. I don't know where to stay. I didn't have money for a hotel. But I was like, I'm not going to be in New York. I'm not going to be in New York State. I thought about going to Jersey, but I was like, I'm not going to be in a tri-state, you know. I think it's Jersey, New York, and one other state, Pennsylvania maybe, where it's like all the same jurisdiction. I was like, I'm not going to be there. So I went to D.C., and my family's all like, dude, where are you? You have an important court date today. And I'm like, don't you know, like, what that date, you know? I was like, don't you? It was so weird. And like, where are you? The lawyer's like, where are you? Where the fuck do you think I am? You know? Like, they made it plain to me. Oh, there's a sun. Oh, my God, it's gorgeous. They made it plain to me that everything's stacked up against me, you know? Yeah, I should say this too. Yeah, because it's kind of related to things. There was a time when there was an opportunity to make a statement, indictment, some kind of indictment shit. They call it indictment. And it's like a day that they decide whether you're indicted or you're not. Still not sure what that totally means, but a lot of people will know listening to this. So that's what it was. And I made a statement. I decided to make a statement. Stupid idea, I think now. But I knew no better than, oh my God, it's gorgeous, the sun. So I made a statement. I think I lied. I think something they asked me and I lied. I was like, no, you know, just trying to stay out of jail. You know, I told mostly the truth. Like, yeah, I was just, you know, like, well, I don't see what's so serious about this. Am I, you know, a killer? Am I a career criminal? You know, I lied about something small. If I lied, I can't really remember. But yeah, but one thing that stood out on that day was there was a black woman on the panel. You know, I think they have 12 citizens who judge you or something, decide whether you're indicted or not. And I really thought they were going to not indict me. Like, I walk into a Pret a Manger one day, I'm leaving the office of one of my clients, and I order tea, and, you know, I'm here in court, like, you know, it's kind of weird. In New York, where there's supposedly criminals and all kind of shit happening. So they indicted me, and I was surprised. I was like, what the fuck? First time it ever happened. So I was surprised. And I, you know, and so I became, of course, you become nervous. You're like, what the hell? They're trying to take me to jail. You know, that's what they're trying to do. Like, there's no reason why they should be making such a serious thing about it. And I kept pointing this out to people, you know, family, my client, other people. Like, hey, look. This was a misdemeanor charge for over a year, and like suddenly it's a felony. Like, one of my friends I went to high school with was a lawyer at the time. I think he still is. I told him about it at the time, and he's like, "Dude, I've seen this before. It sounds like it looks like that guy you spilled tea on. He made some kind of basically." He's trying to get money out of the whole situation. And in order to do that, there needs to be like someone who takes the blame, someone who like intentionally hurt him. And I guess there needs to be a court, you know, decision about that for him to get paid off of this whole thing. And I was like, huh. And I was thinking to myself, I was like, okay, so that should be obvious to everyone. Like, how is it that every, you know, all these people are like stacked up against me? But now I know that's how the criminal justice system works. Okay, like I'm aware of that now. But at the time, I was like, well, how can this be going on? Okay, this friend, this is an interesting part of the story since I'm covering a lot of things. This friend was in Houston. And around this same time that I was experiencing much of this, he was planning to come to New York. I was like, yeah, dude, come stay with me. And so he came, and the day he arrived, I was in jail. This was a long court proceeding, several years. And I was in jail for, I forgot even what. It might have been warrants for this case I'm talking about, because I skipped court or something. This probably might have been what it was, but how I even got caught, it doesn't matter. The point is, I was in jail, and something interesting happened, and he was a witness to this. I was arrested, and the police took my keys to my apartment. And I saw them inventory it. They took them out of my pocket, so I didn't have them. And it was at the station that they did that. And so at some point while I was in jail, I called them because he was still arriving. And I told him, okay, dude, when you come to this police station, tell them you're my friend. You should be able to access my shit, and you'll be able to get the apartment keys. Turns out I was released before he arrived. And I was released from a precinct in Midtown, not far from my apartment, not far at all. And I walked to my apartment from the precinct. And I didn't realize until I arrived at my apartment that I don't have my keys because they're at the station, you know. And so I walked back to the station. I'm like, yeah, guys, give me my keys. You know, like, I don't have my keys on me. They're like, we gave them to you. And I was like, No, I don't have them, you know? And the guy, officer, was like, get out of here, you know? And he had a kind of weird tone, like, okay, we gave them to you and get out of here. Even if we didn't, like, I'm not going to argue with you. And I was like, man, I don't want to fight you right now. So I'm going to walk away. And so I walked away. And I realized when I got back to my apartment again, I'll just tell the doorman to open my apartment for me, you know? Like, so he did that. And my buddy arrived in the morning. And he and I are about to go to some cafe or something. On the way to the cafe, I decide to change my jeans. I was arrested in a pair of gray jeans. I had two pairs of jeans, gray, of the same color. One was in my apartment and one I was arrested with. I go into my closet, pulled out the other pair. I was about to change into those. And out of the pocket of those jeans falls my key to my apartment that I was arrested with, that I know was at the station. I was like, what the fuck? It fell on the floor. I showed it to my friend. I was like, you see that? He's like, what? I was like, do you see that on the floor? He's like, yeah, what? I was like, dude, that's my key, dude. My key I was arrested with that I told you to pick up at the station. Okay? And I, at that point, began to look around. I began to look around, and I noticed a lot of my shit was missing. I had a shoebox in my apartment full of check stubs, paychecks from the agency I was working for. That was gone, with all the other stuff that I keep in a shoebox like that. Some of my clothes was gone. Like, a lot of my shit was gone out of my apartment. And I was like, what the fuck? You know? Like, who had access to my keys? The police? Okay, so I'm here in Mexico, and there's noise at the elevator. One of the last times I was doing this, watching the sunrise, I was harassed. I'm trying to check to see if it's happening again. It doesn't appear to be. Okay, so I'm watching the sun right now. And so I noticed that my shit was missing from my apartment, and I start freaking out. I'm like, what the this is the first time this has happened to me. Like, I've noticed it. And I'm like, what the fuck? I start kicking shit, and I end up kicking the window unit. New York is ghetto. I was in Midtown, in what's considered a nice apartment in New York. I was in Midtown in a nice apartment, and they have a window unit. And I started kicking it. Window unit falls out of its lodging, and either hits the ground or almost hits the ground. I think it almost hits the ground. And I don't know, less than half an hour later, the police show up in my apartment. I'm like, what the fuck are the police doing here again? Now they're in my apartment. Now they're wanting to take me to jail for kicking my own, AC, you know, didn't make sense to me. They're like, oh, we have to take you. I'm like, what the fuck? So they don't take me to jail. They take me to the crazy house. They take me to, like, psychiatric ward of the hospital. Okay? And I'm like, they're like, what's going on? I'm like, what the fuck? Yeah, what's going on, you know? And so I don't say that, but I lie. I'm trying to stay out of trouble. I'm like, oh, there was a spider on my air conditioner. I was trying to kill it, and I was kicking it with my foot, and then the fucking air conditioner falls out of its, you know, thing. Like, why am I in the crazy house? And they're like, okay, we're going to lock you up. So they put me behind this metal door, you know. But I should say this at this time, because it was weird at the time, and I still think it's weird now. The woman who interviewed me was some okay, they put me, okay, so the woman interviewing me was one of these bitches where it's like, it's not about that. I don't know how to explain it, but I'll try. A pretty bitch, but the kind where it's like, she needs more attention. Like, there's no amount that's enough. And she was like, okay, you're not paying me enough attention, so I'm going to lock you up. That's what it was. You know, I don't know. People hearing this might know what that is, but it's like, you know, you're not looking at me. You're not, you know, you're not worshiping me. So like, it's my decision. You're getting locked up. So I was like, what the fuck is this? You know, like, bitch, don't you have other shit to do? Like, why do you need my attention anyway? Anyway, they locked me in that place. Okay. Ended up having to call my mom to fly to. So I have to. No, they're like, no one, you can't leave here till your mom comes and gets you. Like, there's no other way I can leave that place. That's what they told me. You know? Like, who you are doesn't matter. Like, you're not, you know, right now you're this, you know, you're not anyone. You're just a crazy person, and you're going to be here the rest of your life. Okay, you have no contact with any, but you can contact your mom, and she has to fly to New York from Houston to get you out of this place. Okay, so that's what I did. Yeah, okay, so that happened. Okay, so I skipped court. So I think there was another. Okay, yeah, so eventually they rescheduled court, and there has to be a whole other trial or some shit because I wasn't there the day that they were announcing the verdict. Turns out it was a mistrial, and I think that was bullshit. I think I was actually going to get off, but since I wasn't there, they made it a mistrial. Okay, so all this shit has to be done all over again. And I was like, what the fuck? And it came down to me appearing in court one day. I was on time, and I wasn't seen by the judge until after lunch, after the lunch break. So I was returning to the courtroom from the lunch break, and I was like 3 minutes late, not to the building, but to the actual courtroom, you know. And it turns out I was late because I was being held up at the security check-in at the building of the courthouse. And, you know, something that's very normal. And they're like, nope, he's late. And the judge, who's already against, even a worse judge now, he's even more against me. He's like, oh, back to Rikers. And I was like, no, I'm not going back to Rikers. Like, no, you know? And they're like, oh, well, you have to. And I thought, yeah, of course, this is what's going on. They want people. They need people to be, you know, whose brains they can, like, experiment on with, you know, their technology and whatnot. And so that's why they're acting like this. I knew that at the time, okay? And I'm even more sure of that now. This was early 20-teens. Right now I'm speaking about this in 2026. It's April. So, yeah, I was like, oh, my God, this is what they're doing, you know? They even had less technology back then, and it was apparent. So I was like, oh, my God. So at that point, I decided to plea. I was like, okay, I'll say I did it. Like, if I say I did it, are you going to, like, that means I don't go to jail, right? Because I remember them mentioning that at some point throughout all of this shit. They're like, yeah, if you just say you did it, you don't go to jail. And I was like, no, I'm not doing that. Like, you know, fuck you. But at this point, I was like, I'm not going back to jail. You know, I'm not. It's not jail. It's like to be tortured. Electronic harassment, like, you know, that I experienced and know for a fact is happening. I'm not going to walk back into that. So I said I did it. I was like, yeah, guilty, guilty, guilty. They make you say it like three different ways. Like, oh, no one told you to do it. And this is all your decision. And I was like, this is weird how you're all making me say this, you know. And so I said it the way they want me to, and they're like, boom, okay. And I remember that day there was a woman in there crying. She was I was wondering why. I still don't know why, but she was like, she seemed to know what was going on, and she was crying. She was like, yeah, she seemed to know everything that was going on, and she was crying. And I remember leaving the courtroom and seeing her crying. She was looking at me and crying. And I was like, whoa. Okay. So after that, New York became more of a shitty place. You know, I should say, yeah, I mean, some could theorize that, you know, I may have been transported to a different dimension, you know, that all this jail shit is, you know. But anyway, yeah, it became more of a shitty place, and just things turned to shit after there. Suddenly, I couldn't get any work, no matter how talented I was or am. Couldn't get any work. Everything was more difficult. Even before the records, of course you can't get work if you're a felon. But even before all of that propagates, and even outside of that whole thing, it was really weird. So, you know, if some people knew all the details, they might say, yep, they'd put you in a different dimension, man. Like, that was some interdimensional shit that happened. Anyway, so that's what happened there. I was like, fuck this place. I'm going to Europe. Like, it's better anyway there. Like, I don't know why people live in America. I'm going to leave here and never come back again. Bought a ticket to Germany. And I went to Germany, you know, where the people are civilized. And, yeah, it was great. Germany's a great place. Yeah. I'm not going to get too much into that. But in Germany, I quickly... I've been to Germany throughout my life several times before this. And I knew what to expect. But this time I went to Germany, I was surprised. I kind of thought to myself, I was like, I don't remember, everything was good except for the Turkish people. I don't remember this many Turkish people being around. And I don't remember them being so disagreeable, like, you know, like not cool, not fun to be around, you know? Like I remember that when I was younger, you know? And I was like, why are there so many fucking Turkish people, you know? And why are they like this, you know? And they're just shitty people, if I'm being honest, most of them. And I was like, what the fuck? And they just ruined everything, really. And, yeah, so while I was in Germany, I, let's see, this is around 2016. I think I left Germany, then went back again. I'm trying to put this all in order. But anyways, while I was there, I ended up getting accused. Accused of violent behavior. Three major accusations. One, that I was accused of attacking a dude randomly on the street. A Turkish dude. Yeah. So here's a funny thing. Turkish people are the world's most violent people. Okay. Like they're world famous for having the most violent military, and anywhere they go, people will say, yeah, the Turkish people, they're violent as fuck. And so it's funny. They're accusing me of attacking this guy. Okay. And it's a Turkish dude accusing me. Okay. Not a German. And I was accused of, throwing a wine glass on a woman while at a department store, okay? I was at a department store, and somehow I found it useful to throw a wine glass at some woman, you know, some innocent woman just sitting there, you know, that I don't know, all right? I was accused of that. And there was another accusation that, okay, so attacking the dude, throwing the wine glass. And one other one that might come to me, but I can't remember it right now. Okay. So, the wine glass incident. I was at a department store. I was on my iPad. I was working, doing some development, some programming stuff, and I was getting a lot done. I was in a good mood. Went outside to the very nice balcony they had. peaceful day too, to chill and have a cigarette, you know, and kind of collect my thoughts. So I'm doing that when this ugly bitch comes out, and it's just me on the balcony. Like, this patio, it's like a third floor patio, and it's empty. It's just me, and I'm smoking a cigarette in peace. And this bitch comes out there. I'm like, why is this bitch here? Like, it was weird that she was there, because it's like, you know, the time of day that no one would be there. And she was there, and she came, and she wasn't like a normal person who just went there and sat with a cup of tea or something, minding her business. She went there staring at me and sat down and, like, watched me, like, in a really weird way. You know? Like, you know, like, just weird. And I was like, and I was, at the time, I was kind of annoyed by this. You know, if she just came and was apparently minding her business, I wouldn't care, right? But she, like, was acting all weird. So I got upset. And I had a wine glass in my hand, and I threw it on the ground right in front of me, almost, you know, like, inches from my own feet. You know, I remember thinking, you know, oh, good thing I didn't, like, good thing the glass didn't bounce up and cut me or something like that. I might have been wearing sandals, probably was. And so I throw it directly down, and I storm off back into the store. And, yeah. And then I guess I left. Yeah, I left. I left the store. I just leave. I'm like, what the fuck? You know? Like, some people call, it had the vibes of what some people call gang stalking or, like, some other weird shit. I wasn't buying, you know, I wasn't calling it that. I didn't think it was that at the time. I didn't care. I was just, you know, but it was weird. And so I left. And I was there the next day in the cosmetic section of the same department store, and I was trying on some cosmetics. I was, trying on some cosmetics, you know, eyeshadow probably, eyeliner maybe. And while I was there, the police show up, and I thought, ha ha ha, you know, what are they going to do? I'm sitting here putting on makeup. Like, are they going to say that I, you know, I was just like, yeah, what do you have to say? You know? And they grabbed me. They're like, come with us. I was like, okay, I'll come with you, you know? Like, I'm, you know, that's what I, you know. But by the way, the police in Germany are pretty civilized. And I go with them. They might have been security. In fact, I think they were private security for the store or something. But I think the police showed up also in the office of the security people of the department store. And so they had me there. They asked me a few questions, and they brought the bitch in. And I can't even say it was the same bitch. It might have been a different bitch. But the bitch they brought in was a Turkish bitch. Ugly, nasty Turkish bitch with blonde hair. Imagine that, right? Like, you're ugly, and then you dye your hair blonde, and it doesn't get blonde because it's naturally black as hell. So it's this nasty orange color, and you walk around extra ugly. And this bitch walks in, and the bitch is crying, or she's pretending to cry. She's like, you know, she's like pretending to cry, like, enough that it's noticeable, like shuffling her shoulders and, like, you know. And one of the officers is laughing, like, the guy who's questioning me, he looks at her, he starts laughing, it's like, you know, and so the bitch continues this, she doesn't stop, she doesn't realize that nobody's buying that shit, and she claimed that I threw the glass at her, and the glass bounced up, and some of it hit her foot. That's what she claimed on that day. You know, the day after the incident. And the police were like, okay, you know, we got both of your statements. They let me go. They didn't arrest me. They're like, oh, whatever, dude. Like, you can go. So I left. Okay. It wasn't till, like, several months later when I was arrested for something totally different. They brought this whole thing up. And they changed the story. They said, I threw it at her and hit her in the face with a wine glass. That's what they were saying. Okay. None of that happened, of course. So, you know, I just explained. But that's what they were claiming. And there's no way from, you know, so they put that charge on me along with another one. Okay. Another one. They brought, oh, yeah. The day that they say I attacked some random dude in the street, they didn't arrest me on that day either. They brought that up also when I was arrested for something else. They brought that up. And of course, skewed the whole story. Okay, they on that time for that charge, they say I just randomly hit a dude in the face. Like I just randomly walked up to a dude and hit him in the face. You know, and they say there were witnesses. They say there were witnesses. And I had a lawyer. I had a German lawyer. He was a pretty cool dude. I liked him. I don't think he was on my side. And I realized at that point that the whole criminal justice system is a trap. Even though he was cool, he wasn't totally on my side. And he kind of, you know, I kind of got that impression. And he didn't really, you know, conceal that. But he was cool, though. And so he told me, he's like, yeah, dude, the problem you have is that when there's a witness who doesn't know either of you, that's valued a lot by the judge. You know, the judge says, okay, there's a whole total third party, and they're saying this, and so that, you know, carries a lot of weight. And they say that, you know, but okay, so that's what it was. That's common sense, right? But here's the funny thing that the people listening to this will enjoy. The witness to this incident of the, you know, the accusation of me walking up randomly hitting a dude in the face, the witness came in the form of a couple, a man and a woman. I'm going to pause the recording and start a new one just to make sure everything here is secure.